Chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to talk about translation. What is translation? For the first, A. Preliminary. The first, description. This chapter is a foundation laying chapter. It introduces you to several foundational terminologies of translations. Examines the three types of translation proposed by Jacobson, discusses the normative and non-normative definition of translation proposed by several well-known translation scholars. Second, specific instructional objectives. On finishing this activity, students are expected to be able to define what source text is and what target text is. B. Distinguish among interlingual, intralingual, and intersemiotic translation. Write the definition of translation according to translation scholars. B. Elaboration. What is translation? The moment you set your foot at this patio airport, it's the gateway to and out of Frontenac, municipality of a number of trilingual or multilingual notices will meet your eyes. The information is conveyed through three languages, Indonesian, English, and Mandarin, and such notice reads, domestic arrival. Multilingual, trilingual, and bilingual notices, which appear in public places, are good examples of translation at work. So, what is translation? Paying attention to the above multilingual notices, we get the idea that translation is rendering the meaning of one language into another language. It is communicating the meaning of a source text into another language. When we talk about translation, we repeatedly use such a basic terminologies as source language, target language, source text, target text, translation. Let's begin with source language. Source language is the language of the original text. Target language is the language of the translated text. Source text is the original text to be translated. And target text is the translated text.
The case study of two child learners. Various committee studied an adult learner in naturalistic surroundings. I investigated two child learners in a classroom context. Both were almost complete beginners in English at the beginning of the study. J was a 10-year-old Portuguese boy, literate in his native language. He was an adventurous and confident learner, willing to struggle to communicate in English, even when he had very limited resources. R was an 11-year-old boy from Pakistan, speaking but unable to write Punjabi as his native language. Initially, he lacked confidence using his native language extensively and relying on his elder sister to help him communicate in English. Gradually, however, he became more confident and independent. Both learners were learning English in a language unit in London. The unit catered exclusively for skilled language learners who had recently arrived in Britain. The goal was to prepare students for a transfer to local secondary schools. Jay spends almost 4 school terms in the unit, about 12 months. R spent 2 whole school years in the unit and, in fact, puzzled they were when the study ended. The instruction the two learners received was very mixed. It involves both formal language instruction, attempt to teach the learners specific language items and rules, and more informal instruction, attempt to get the students to use English communicatively. Initially, at least the two learners had little exposure to the target language outside the classroom. The focus of my study was request. I want to find out how the two learners acquired the ability to perform requests for services and goods over the periods of study. Requests can be performed in a variety of ways in English. For example, give me your pencil. Can I have your pencil? Do you mind giving me your pencil? It can be relatively simple as in the above examples, or they can be quite complex, as when the speaker offers a reason for making the request. My pencil broken. Would you mind giving me yours? Because English was the medium of communication, in this learner's classroom there were numerous opportunities for them to hear and to perform requests. I collected samples of the two learners' requests by visiting their classroom regularly and writing down any requests they produced. When I analyzed GLS and R's requests, I found clear evidence of development taking places. Moreover, the two learners appeared to develop in much the same way. Initially, their requests were verbals. For example, when Jay needed a cut out of a big circle in a mathematics lesson, he said, "Big circle." While in a different lesson, R just pointed at a piece of card to let the teacher know that he wanted him to put a staple in it, saying, "Sir, a little lower." Both learners began to use imperative verbs in their requests. Give me a paper. Sometime after this, they learned to use can I have one yellow book, please? The next stage of their development of request was marked by a general extension of the linguist devices they used. For example, R made use of want statement. Miles, I want R wanted the teacher to give him the stapler. They used got. You got a rubber? Occasionally, most learners use hints instead of direct requests. For example, when Jay wanted the teacher to give him a different colored piece of paper, he said, "This paper is not very good to color blue." Finally, the learners began to use can with a range of different verbs, not just with help. "Can you pass me a pencil? Can you pass me a pencil?" A number of points emerged from this. One is that both learners were capable of successfully performing simple requests, even when they knew very little English. Another is both learners manifested development in their ability to perform requests over the period of study. In particular, they acquired alternative ways of performing them. A third point is that many of their requests seem formulaic in nature. That is, they used fixed expressions like "can I have a" or "have you got a." Fourth point is that both learners progressed in much the same way despite the fact that they had different native languages. By the end of the study, therefore, the two learners' ability to use requests had grown considerably. However, it was equally clear that this ability was limited in a number of respects. Their requests tended to be very direct. They mostly took the form of command with an imperative verb. Throughout, whereas native speakers would tend to use more indirect requests. For example, they make requests by asking questions or giving hints. The learners' requests were generally very simple. They only modified a request, and if they did so, relate more or less exclusively on the one modifier place. Also, whereas the speaker of English vary the way they perform requests with different addresses to ensure politeness, the two learners use the same range of requests. Strategies were irrespective of whether they were talking to the teacher or other students. In short, despite ample opportunity to master requests, learners were still far short of that like competence at the end of the study. What do these case studies show us? First, there was a number of important methodological issues relating to how second language acquisition should be studied. Second, there were issues relating to the description of learners' language. Third, the point of the sub of the problem researchers experiment in trying to explain second language acquisition.